thank you for everyone coming out tonight. In the pastor's absence, it's an encouragement to myself, and I know to each of the other men too who have filled in while during this time. Get myself together here. Hope you picked up an outline, or at least some of the notes that I for tonight. It's a short one. It's not necessarily in the Psalms, but it has a theme that I think we can make application to our lives today. Join with me in prayer. Again, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now that you loved us, that you sent your Son to die for us. That, Lord, you'll bless everything we do and say today, this evening, in time of reflection and worship into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I kind of thought that I would use the message tonight to follow up with part of last week's, maybe part two, I'm not sure. But for sure, again, something from the New Testament rather than from the Old Testament. And we'll be looking at 1 Peter 4, verse 5, or 5, verse 7, rather. God desires for each of us to live a carefree and cared for life, and has made a way for that lifestyle to become a reality. And we'll see in this passage here how Jesus showed us how. What caused anxiety in your life? The list could be too endless to go into this evening, and the contributing factors may be, in fact, innumerable. But I have a word from God for you today in that regard. You, each of us, can live a carefree and a cared-for life and be encouraged daily if you will follow what God's word says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. It literally means that it matters to God concerning you individually and all of us collectively. Peter is talking here about anxiety. The Lord said earlier in his earthly ministry in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, bring your burdens to him, and he will save you. Then come to him later on, and he will meet you and help you with your problems. Cast all your care upon him, Paul told the Philippian believers. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, we see and read, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is, take your cares, take your anxieties, take your concerns, and whatever is bothering you to the Lord in prayer, and leave it there. Don't pick it up again. God desires for each of us to live a carefree and cared for life, and has made a way for that lifestyle to become a reality, because Jesus showed us how. Jesus showed us how by his example of how to live a carefree and care-forward life. When you look at Jesus' life, it becomes very obvious that he knew the word of God, believed it, and loved it fully. From victoriously defeating temptation to his teaching and his preaching, Jesus used God's word that he had stored in his heart. It also is very obvious that Jesus lived a life of prayer. He was constantly praying. When his schedule became full and demanding, he never neglected prayer. He was constantly getting off by himself to some secluded place to pray. It was in his prayer closet that he refueled. Hopefully that we can all say that. As we seek to depend upon God's word and live a life of daily prayer, our worries will be displaced. God's word is able to strengthen our faith, and prayer helps keep us fueled up for the journey ahead. The word instructs us that through difficulties and in prayer, we release all of our burdens to God. So be a person of the word. Be a person of prayer. These are the two tools that God has placed within our spiritual toolkit to enable us to live a carefree life. Listen to this example of a carefree and cared for life in Mark 4, 35, 41. And this is what I was alluding to earlier about all the stormy sea songs that we were singing. Maybe you're familiar with this. Turn with me if you can't have an opportunity to Mark 4, 35 to 41 and follow along with me. Verse 35, And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awaken him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Verse 41, And they feared exceedingly and said unto one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Here we see that the fishermen, called to be disciples, were anxious because of the storm of life. I don't want to minimize the size or the severity of the storm, but don't you imagine that these fishermen had seen their share of storms in their lives? But this one must have been the biggest one yet, as apparent in their state of panic that they exhibited towards the Lord. In the midst of the storm, what was Jesus doing? He was living a carefree and a cared-for life, sound asleep in the stern of the ship. He was prayed up and full of the word. The storm didn't impact Jesus. He rose up and took control of the storm. Likewise, know that each of us are cared for by God. The fishermen turned disciples here failed to realize that God was in the boat with them, and all he had to do was to speak a word in the midst of their storm. God cared for them, and as much cares for us today. God cares for you so much, cares for each of us so much, that he sent his son not only to be our example, but also to die for our sins, so that you can spend eternity with him in the care of God the Father. A familiar verse, John 3:16, of course, says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You may be going through some of the biggest storms of your life right now, or maybe you're heading into one of the biggest storms of your life tomorrow or the next day. Today, I don't minimize the severity of your storm, but I would like to point you to the one that is in the boat with you. Jesus is in the boat with you and with each of us, and he cares very much for us. Through what he did for you on the cross, he has provided access for you to take your burdens to God and leave them there. Hebrews 4:16 says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And that applies to each of us. Brothers and sisters, we need to live a carefree and care-for life. Stay full of the word and be in constant prayer. Realize that Jesus is in the boat with you and that he cares for you. But notice that in the Mark 4, 35 to 41 passage above, the disciples asked Jesus this question while he was asleep in the midst of the sea storm. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care that we may be in danger of drowning and dying? Whether you know it or not, that is a question that a lot of people are asking today. Doesn't Jesus care that we are perishing? People today are asking the same question that the disciples asked almost 2,000 years ago. There are a lot of people today whose lives have been messed up because of some bad decisions that they were made on their part or on the part of somebody else. There are a lot of homes and marriages that have been wrecked needlessly because of infidelity, domestic abuse, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, or some other problem. There are a lot of children and teenagers today that have gone astray by being willfully disobedient of their parents or other adults in authority. People are losing their homes and through foreclosure because they can no longer pay their rent or their mortgages or their bills. People are being laid off from their jobs because of either business slowing down or because of the virus. Crime is running rampant in many parts of our country, and there is seemingly no accountability or respect of the law in many corners of this land either. People are losing their physical health, to dreadful diseases and sickness. It is sad but true that we have churches being split and torn apart over seemingly unresolvable but petty differences. Today we live in a society where increasingly people will justify whatever is necessary to get what they think they need or want, whether or not it is legal, ethical, or moral, in order to get ahead in life. And because we are living in such times as this, such troubled times as this, many are asking the question, doesn't Jesus care that we are perishing? Well, the answer to that question is a resounding yes. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We learn from this verse that Jesus does really care for each and every one of us. No matter what valleys or storms we're going through, no matter what our problems today or tomorrow or the next day may be, or no matter how bad our situation may look like, just know and be assured that Jesus cares for you. Not only does Jesus care about you, but he cares enough about you that he wants to do something about your problems, about your bad situation. He cares enough about you to heal your broken marriages. He cares enough to heal your broken relationships with your children, your wife, husband, or other friendships, to fix your money problems, to fix your job problems, to fix your school problems. Yes, Jesus cares so much for you that he's willing to do whatever you need to do for him because Jesus really cares for you. Again, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, that's all your worries, all your burdens, all your problems, all your bad circumstances or situations, because he careth for you. Notice the word casting, the first word of verse 7. The Greek word eparhito, well, I feel like Chris did the other night trying to get through some of the Greek words, but in any event, eparhito for casting means to throw down or to place upon. The word carries the idea of trusting someone or something to handle what you are throwing at them. And it is a blessing to know we can trust God to handle anything we throw at him, for there is nothing in our lives that God cannot handle. If you have money problems, place them before the Lord, because he can handle it. If you have marriage or other relationship problems, place them before the Lord, because he can handle it. If you have health problems, likewise, place them before God, because God can handle it. If you have problems at school or work, place them before God, because God can handle it. Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing, nothing too hard for thee. Next, we see the word all. It means everything. As a friend of Calvary Baptist for many years, Monty Level, has said that all means all, and that's all that all means. There's nothing more to it. Don't just throw one or two or three problems at God. Throw all of your problems at God. God is asking you to cast everything on him. That includes all your present and all your future problems. We must stop trying to handle everything ourselves and give ourselves and everything that goes with us to God to handle and take care of for us. That means to let God handle all of our problems. Let God handle all of our concerns. Let God handle all of our worries and all of our anxieties. Let God handle all of our fears and challenges, and let God particularly handle all of our failures and disappointments. Why? Again, because he cares for you. He cares for me. Notice what 1 Peter 5:7 says, for he careth for you. In the Greek, it's hotai auto mentai peri human. It means to give him whatever is concerning you, or for you are his concern. Wow. God is concerned about each of us, it says here. God loves us. God cares for us. He is interested in what we do, what we are, and where we're going. We are charged here to give all of our concerns to God. In other words, you matter a whole lot to God. Rather than being burdened and consumed with our own anxieties, he directs for us to transfer that load to him. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 56:3 says, What time I am afraid, I will trust in him. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 reminds us that we should be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a familiar song in a church's hymn book, our hymn book Living Hymns, written by Frank Grafe, that we have sung many times before, called Does Jesus Care? It's hymn number 438, if you care to follow along. Let me read it as it goes through. It's only four verses. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for myrrh or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist temptation strong, when for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? And then the chorus, oh yes, he cares. He cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. You see, what is so powerful about Peter's command is that it recognizes the fragmentation of our ways of doing things. It recognizes that we are often unwilling to commit ourselves wholly and radically to any one thing or to any one person. We always want to hedge our bets, it seems, to cover all of our bases. We don't like leaving anything to chance. Anything to chance that we say we can, and we can understand what it might mean to trust God up to a point, but only to a point. But we need to cast all of our anxieties on him. Cast them all. Many of us may have trouble with that, so we fall back on the old proverb, and it's not in the Bible, that says, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And though we acknowledge with all our hearts that if God be God, he is able to take care of it all, yet with our hearts down in the depths of our stomachs, we feel uncertain, don't we? How can I trust all my anxieties to him, do we say? How can I bring everything that I feel, everything that hurts? How can I consign to God those irrational, those nameless, those pointless fears? How is it possible for me to lay before the Father all that I am? But ask all of us this evening to hear and to hear it again. To hear it as a command, yes, to also hear it as the gospel of the good news, the best of the good news, as the liberating power of a loving Lord. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Almost every chapter of the New Testament was written to and for people who were enduring or having and going through hard times. Not much different than today. God knows that life is filled with trouble and anxiety, and so he gave us his word to be the ark to carry us through this world when the flood of sorrow, heartache, and pain seemingly never ceases. Where else can we find help and hope? Man wants peace, but where can he go? All the world has to offer is called sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. There is only one place that mankind can go, and that is to the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. That is the focus of 1 Peter 5:7, a message of comfort and yet a challenge for today's successful pilgrimage. And here's the first point on the outline. The reality of our anxiety is recognized in this portion of Scripture. The Bible does not escape or avoid dealing with problems by pretending they are not real. It recognizes that anxiety is very real, and even the Christian is in danger of falling into its grasp. We would not have to be told to cast our care upon him if we had no care to cast. The Bible tells us that Christians, like all people, suffer with worry and anxiety at times in their time of trouble. And anxiety comes from the root word meaning to divide. The anxious Christian is a divided personality and cannot give their full devotion to God if they're anxious. Anxiety is to the personality what fever is to the body. It registers the presence of something foreign, causing a reaction. Often we can no more help being anxious than we can help getting an infection. Someone has said, anxiety will not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it empties today of its strength. It does not enable you to escape the evil, but makes you unfit to cope with it when it comes. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:34 that take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You will have all you can deal with each day without adding to the load worries about the future will cause you. Man has the power to imagine the worst, and so he is capable of anticipating the future. And it is the future that is the cause for so much anxiety and trouble in our lives. There's an old story of a man walking along with a heavy burden, and the angel of knowledge comes up to him and says, "What are you doing? Where are you going? What are you carrying?" The man says, "I'm carrying my worries." "Let us examine them," said the angel. So the man let down his load, and when the angel looked in the bag, it was completely empty. "I don't understand," the man said. "I had two great worries that were so heavy I could hardly lift them." "Yes," said the angel, "but one was yesterday, and it is gone. The other was of tomorrow, and it's not here yet." We need to learn to bear only the worries of today, and then we need not bear such a heavy load. God will not give us burdens too great to bear, but if you take your burdens beyond today, they are not God-given. Every person has a breaking point, and if you choose to worry about everything and enough things, anyone can destroy their peace of mind by that. If only we could learn to live for today, as a hymn says, is it the crowning day? Number 209 in a hymn book says, "I'll live for today, nor anxious be. Jesus, my Lord, I soon shall see." Sometimes when the sky of our life is dark and dreary, we may feel like Elizabeth Allen, or Acres Allen, who said when she wrote back, way back in the old days, the 1850s, I don't think any of you remember that time, but she wrote, and it's applicable today, "Backward, flow backward, O tide of the years. I am so weary of toil and tears, toil without recompense, tears all in vain. Take them and give me my childhood again." But there is no escape from life's trials like that. The past is gone, and we must face the present and future with a greater power than that which seeks to crush us. The Bible recognizes the reality of anxiety and worry, but it also recognizes that faith in Jesus Christ is sufficient to gain the victory over all that the world can throw at us. A housewife can stand to do the dishes one day at a time, but if she were to see all the dishes or all the laundry she will have to wash for the rest of her life, she probably would want to give up. So it can be in the Christian's life if one gets so concerned about what the future holds. The flower of faith can be choked out. Remember, Jesus also spoke of this in the parable of the sower, where he told of some of the seed that actually began to grow and take root, but was then choked out because of the cares of the world. So if we've seen now that the reality of anxiety can be recognized, next let's look at how the remedy for anxiety is revealed. Again, still in the same verse. So how did Jesus face the dreadful future of mockery and crucifixion? He faced it for sure with anxiety. But what he did do with it, he cast it upon his heavenly Father and then went forth to bear it in perfect peace. The peace of Christ is not an escape from trouble and anxiety, but is a peace in the midst of it. Jesus humbled himself and God exalted him. Anxiety comes from an unwillingness to submit to the providence of God. We will not say, thy will not mine be done. We cannot begin to find a cure for care and an answer for anxiety if we do not let go of our own plans and pride and submit them all to the will of God. We must recognize that the power of God, for we would not worry so much about what man is going to do if we recognize the power of God. He is still doing wonders in the realm of all creation. In 1918, an astronomer at Mount Wilson, California, outside of L.A., watched the heavenlies declare the glory of God one evening, At midnight one night, he saw a new star that had appeared. It appeared glowing with increasing intensity, and in 36 hours, it had increased in brilliance of over 30,000 times. It had been made way back in the beginning of time, but it just now made itself visible in 1918. Creation is constantly revealing God at work, as in that star. God is not only the mighty one who creates, he is also the merciful one who cares. A leading psychiatrist has said that most of the patients that come to him lack a sense of personal significance. They feel that they do not count in life. This never needs to be the feeling of the Christian person, for God cares for you and me and considers each one of us precious in his sight. There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repenteth, the Bible says. Augustine said, God loves every one of us, though there were only one of us to love. Therefore, let all your anxieties fall upon him. Cast your care upon him, for he does care for you. Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Missions, was so burdened once with responsibility that he had very little soul rest until he learned to cast all of his care upon God. When he learned this through a fresh meeting with God, he said, as to work, mine was never so plentiful, so responsible, or so difficult, but the weight and strain are all gone. This is what Jesus meant when he said that his yoke was easy and his burden light. We have much to bear and many trials to face, don't get me wrong. But God carries the heaviest part of the load for us if we let him, which is the cares and the anxieties that we cast upon him. We've seen the reality of anxiety as recognized and the remedy for anxiety, how it's revealed. Now let's look at the remedy for stress and anxiety in the same verse. The Bible does have an antidote for stress. It's called faith. Often when we're worried, it's because we're worried about something that might happen or might not happen. Many of our fears never come to fruition. Anxiety is worry about what might happen. I think too many people fear that they're on the wrong side of that wall. We cloud our minds with so much of the darkness of doubt that we prevent the sunshine of hope from coming into view. The Bible is full of references to relating to faith, to a saving faith. Let's take a look at a few of these verses that are related to faith. Habakkuk 2, verse 4 says, behold, this soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all these things, that's again all, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Mark 11:22 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Luke 7, verse 50 says, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And a familiar verse, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And again in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible also exhorts us to be cheerful. What does strength and unnecessary anxiety do? It robs us of our joy and our cheer. God wants all of his children to be cheerful. The Bible says in numerous places, in numerous verses, that we are to make a joyful noise. Let the children of Zion be joyful in the King. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Make them joyful in my house of prayer. My soul shall be joyful in my Lord. and I am exceedingly joyful. If we will only have faith in our God, he will restore our joy. David prayed in his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." Stress is unavoidable, but not impossible to limit. If we will only take our problems to the Lord, we will be delivered from many of our fears. May we always remember to put God first in our lives and continue in his commandments, exercising our faith in every aspect of our life. The hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Hebrews 4, verse 18 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And our favorite verse tonight, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Caring for people is nothing new to God. He's been doing it from eternity past. He cared for people when he decided to create them. He cared for people when he chose some of humanity to be his praise and glory. He cared for Adam and Eve even after they sinned against him. He cared for Noah and his family when he destroyed the world by water. He cared for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Solomon, Daniel, Jonah, Elijah, and three Hebrew boys in the trials of their life. He cared for Peter, James, and John as they struggled to understand the teaching of Christ and the meaning of his death and resurrection. He cared for Paul as the apostle took the message of salvation by grace through faith to the world. He has cared for millions of Christians who have lived and died for him over the centuries, and who are today still living and being persecuted and dying for their faith in Christ. Today, though, he still cares for you and me. He will never leave you alone. He will never forsake you for another. He will always be close to you. He will always hear you when you cry to him. He will always take care of you. Sometimes it may seem that no one cares about what you're doing or going through. You may be going through something stressful at school or at work or with your boss. You may be in trouble with the law. Maybe you and your family don't get along. Maybe you feel like no one loves you or cares about you. But let me say this. No matter what it is that you're going through or that has gotten you down, Jesus does care, and he wants to set you free from your burdens. Jesus cares about your life, and he wants to help you make it. The Bible says that not even one sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing it. He has the very hairs on your head numbered. That's easier for some of us. He knows all about you and me today, and he still cares about each and every one of us. He knows our strengths and all our weaknesses. He knows our good and all of our bad. But in spite of all his knowledge about us, he still loves us. Jesus still cares in that regard for every one of us, every single one. Our bodies were not made to carry around the cares of this world. Our bodies were not made to carry around the stress and anxiety that we allow it to carry. Man was originally made to dwell in the Garden of Eden. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, we carry cares, we carry stress, anxiety, and other problems. But the Bible says that we can cast all of our cares upon him because he loves and cares for each of us so much. Jesus cares for each and every person today who has called upon him as their Savior. This evening, as we close this service, I want each and every one of you to know that you are loved and cared for by God. The fishermen turned disciples we talked about earlier failed to recognize that God was in the boat with them, and that all he had to do was speak a word in the midst of the storm, and it would subside. God cared about those men then, and he cares about you and me today. But God cared so much that he sent his son to earth to die on a cruel and humiliating cross for our sins. He was buried in the grave for 3 days, but on the third day, early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Jesus rose up out of the grave, with power in his hands. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Tonight you may be going through the biggest storm of your life now, or maybe you're preparing to go into the biggest storm of your life tomorrow and don't know it. Today I don't want to minimize the severity of your storm, but I can point you to the one that is in the boat with you. Jesus is in the boat with each of us through our storms, and he cares for each of us. Through what he has done for us on the cross, he has provided access for you to take your burdens to God and leave them there. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need." It is true that there's not much compassion left in the world today, it seems, but it is also true that if we who have accepted Christ as our Savior serve a God who cares very much for each and every one of us. Beloved, it is my desire that we all live a careful and a carefree life and a cared for life. Stay full of the word and in constant prayer is my encouragement. Again, realize and remember that Jesus is in the boat with you, with each one of us, and he cares for us. Know that you are loved and cared by God. Let's pray. Again, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now for being with us this evening. Thank you for this time in the Word. Lord, may it comfort our hearts and our souls each time that we go to your Word and comfort our days. In Jesus' name, amen.